I'm Chinee Ogwumike.
I'm Lisa Leslie, and we're very excited to tell you about our new podcast with Blue Wire, Front and Center.
Lisa and I are breaking down what's going on in our lives, in the world, and keeping it 100.
We're also learning from amazing guests as well, like Emmanuel Acho.
People that show love to me, I forever got their back.
Vivica A. Fox.
If the foundation isn't right, then the rest of it's going to go wrong from there.
And more.
Subscribe to Front and Center today.
Hello, and welcome to Here's Where It Went Wrong, a podcast where every episode we sit down with a comedian guest, talk about one of our favorite subjects, and then trace the history to discover where it all went off the rails, which, by the way, you'll find out in this episode. Just remember, this is our opening every episode. This is not a tortured pun, and you'll understand this later on. And I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Wen Powers. How are you doing, Wen? Bad? You doing bad?
I'm doing bad, man. I haven't slept in 3 days.
Yeah, guys, we're recording this on Thursday, the 5th. We still do not have an answer. We're waiting on Nevada. This is so stressful. Wen has been awake forever.
I have slept, seriously, I was so nervous before the election started. So I slept like 4 hours Monday night, didn't sleep for maybe like a short nap on Tuesday. And then last night, I really went whole hog, slept another 4 hours. So this is going to be a really manic episode where I'm just going to kind of start talking and you're going to have to be like, Wen, no, there's no ghosts. Why are you talking about that?
All right, good. It sounds like it's going to be a fun one, guys. We didn't do an episode, a political episode on Election Day. We figured everyone is going to be stressed. Let's do a fun one, give them an escape. And we're going to do this one because we're going to have an answer and hopefully all be happy. So this was supposed to be our gift to you to trace some American political history in a fun way rather than a terrifying way. But we don't know yet if this is going to be fun. We will easily still all be depressed on Tuesday if Biden doesn't pull us out.
Yeah, we're gonna go on record right now and say this is a pretty pro-Biden podcast. But if you haven't picked that up from everything else we've said, that's on you.
Yeah, I don't feel like we've been subtle about that. But yeah, let's be very clear. We are heavily invested in this election and very liberal. So we are stressed as is appropriate right now, which is very. And we've got a guest here who has agreed to join us and be stressed with us. He's a writer for The Daily Show. He's a comedian. He's absolutely fantastic. You can follow him on Instagram and Twitter at Randall Otis TV. Randall Otis, thank you for being here. How you doing?
I can't believe I agreed to do this. Of just the timing.
I know. I am really surprised too.
I mean, I think we all thought that we'd be recording this episode afterwards. So the fact that you're here right now is incredible. I actually was thinking like, will his work even let him do this?
I have been expecting like a cancellation. Like, this is dumb. Why would you make me do this like every 5 minutes? So we're grateful for you being here. And if you leave at any point, we understand. But thank you so much. I imagine you're, in the same place.
Oh, no, I haven't really been paying attention. I just been trying to play a Ghost of Tsushima. So wait, what's going on with the election? Is Trump winning?
You know what? It's going great. Literally 30 minutes ago, he gave a speech. All the networks immediately cut away and were like, he's lying. And I'm like, you could have done that? Like, that was allowed this whole time, and you haven't been doing that?
I mean, it's not like we have not been used to insanity and stupidity these past 4 years, but it's one of those things where it's like you can never fully prepare for how dumb it's going to get. So we have got some history here that will hopefully distract and entertain you guys a little bit, but we did go with U.S. political history because it turns out it has been dumb forever. So as always, we start with a positive, and it turns out it is really hard to find a positive in U.S. political history. So I think our positive is mostly that it's interesting, but we're going to start with the history of the railroad. This was something that was actually a pretty cool project. There were a lot of positives about it before it got all messed up. Rail, can you tell us a bit about the U.S. railroad history?
Oh, of course. Well, railroads in America, they're like first like really big businesses when you like compare it to stuff today. Because, you know, we're like started off as what, like an agrarian society, basically. So, it was like the first like really big business. And it started, I think, around like 1720. And I totally memorized this and I'm not just reading the research y'all sent me.
So I found a picture from this first 1720 train. So this was before the actual steam engine was invented. I found a picture of this and I wondered why it was so familiar. And because it looked exactly like those hayride carts that are pulled by a tractor. This was when we actually started developing a steam engine. So it's just basically a hayride cart. They put it on a track pulled by a horse. And this is what they're calling the first train.
It's weird to me that you need a whole system for that. Like I think you could just use roads.
Right.
Are you talking about that thing that you have two people on each side and one pushes down, one pushes up like a seesaw. That's what the is that what you're talking about?
I mean, that honestly was not even invented yet. This is just a horse. This is just supposed to decrease friction so the horse can pull it a bit easier when it's something very heavy. And they built a track for it. And then like 100 years later, they figure out the steam engine. So they're way ahead of this. There's no reason for the track at this point. They're like, maybe someday someone will invent a use for this. We're just going to go with it.
Yeah, they just kind of cleared out a bunch of space and it was just used for like forts and whatnot to deliver supplies. And they had a wagon going and they were like, there has to be a better way. And then they invented like the most cumbersome possible way to do it where the wagon can only go one direction.
I feel like you'd make it and think, this is a bad design. This is not something we can't turn. We can't turn anymore, guys. This is a mistake.
I'm going to be honest, to do the track before you have the engine, yeah. Really fucking dumb. You should have just had the horse.
It's like, well, this will be cool one day. Right.
That's exactly what it was. Yeah.
Right now it's a box, but it'll be a dope ass box.
It'll be something that once we figure out what to put inside it, this is going to be some cool shit.
Guys, this is my box. And one day it's going to be filled with all the naked ladies you could ever imagine. And they were like, get him.
Like, yeah, burn that motherfucker.
So this is the early railroad. It starts in Massachusetts.
He's lusting. Attack.
God. Honestly, yeah. We did a witchcraft episode recently. This is about on par with witchcraft at this point. This is like, you know what? Maybe it's going to be something and we should probably set up on fire for it. So Baltimore, they start building the actual distance railroad because they're trying to compete with New York City's Erie Canal. They've got the steam engine now. This starts developing by 1850. They have 9,000 miles of railroad lines. This is actually starting to become something. So 1850, they start to pitch the idea of the first transcontinental railway, which is going to be our start of this and where it eventually goes wrong. But thoughts on that?
Smart idea, because they were like, look, we have all this land and nobody's living here. So they're basically just like, what if we just put a road, a track, right through one end of the country to the other, and we'll just tell people like, hey, stop at any point and make a town.
Yeah, that's basically it. They are trying to get this built, but there is basically nothing between like Iowa and California. This journey takes 6 months to currently make with, you know, like your family of 800 people as everyone had at this time. So the Pacific Railroad surveys sends out people to start detailing this. They search 400,000 square miles to try and figure out the best path for this, which they do a pretty good job on, but they mostly note like, oh, there are animals here you have to avoid, but they don't write down like the topography, like where it's going to be most expensive because you have to go over a mountain. They're like vague notes, but they thought that the bird was more important than the mountain.
Could you imagine sending someone out on this mission? You're like, you have 2 years to explore the entire middle America and the Pacific Northwest. And they're just like, okay, give us your research. And he's just like, here's a bird I drew.
And they did. They drew so many birds.
Yeah, so they were the endpoint of the railroad. They were in the west, was going to be Sacramento, but they weren't sure where in the east it should be, like which line that already exists that Sacramento should connect to.
Yeah, so there's a lot of debate over this at this point. We've also got Lincoln, who has hired Durant, a name you're going to come up later, to help him find a point, who has some background in this. And Durant says it should be Missouri, so much so that he buys land in Missouri, thinking the railroad's going to go through it. That's going to come up again later. But it's not. They go with Iowa. They go with Iowa because the Civil War is going strong, and it's far enough north of Missouri that they think they can build this without much issue. Eventually, you know, they can't. They halt progress until 1855.
How corrupt. Like, they just started off pretty fucking corrupt. If he was just like, look, it's gonna be Missouri, we gotta go through Missouri, it's the smart choice. And they're like, didn't you just buy a bunch of land in Missouri? Not important.
Like, randomly, like, they get the railroad and they get like the Iowa caucus. They just, right. Like, why does Iowa get all this special shit?
Right. How about you do something, Iowa? It is like one of the most pointless. We're going to get so many angry emails from Iowans now. Honestly, we can take it. Iowa, just tell us what you do and we'll let it go.
And you know what? If you're mad about it, come fight me.
Yeah. We are right here in Chicago and New York, all right? In the cities that actually contribute something, but you know, not all great stuff. So 1862, Congress passes the Pacific Railroad Act, which allowed them to issue large land grants. Basically, the government's like, look, we want to build some railroads. We're going to give you the money to build the railroads as a loan. You're going to pay us back afterwards, but then you get to keep all the money afterwards. So they create the Union Pacific and Central Pacific Railroad companies to take on this massive project. They offer to assist the railroad with a loan of $16,000 to $48,000 per mile of track. It varied depending on, you know, how rough it was to build. Obviously, building in the Rockies, you got a lot more money. They also got a land grant of 20 million acres for every mile that was built. They were given 10 miles which then, of course, they're going to rent off to people. And this is, you know, primed to make anyone who thinks they can actually do this a lot of money. Problem is, nobody really thinks they can do this. The railroad would be 1,750 miles built through desert and mountains, so the freight costs would be insane. Also, the Native Americans are obviously pissed because of everything, all of history.
Rightly so.
Yeah, this was a good, yeah, I would be too.
Could you imagine if they were like, look, we met the two guys, we showed them the birds, they loved the birds, they drew the birds, and now you're pulling this shit? We showed you all those nice birds, and now you're taking our land to put, what, is that a fucking wagon with a horse? I know the steam engine came around, but it's still a dumb product.
It was.
In my head.
Yeah, no, this is absolutely insane. They've created these two companies now. Private investors have no interest because they're like, cool, you can't do this. The road is even proposed, it was called a going concern, which means that they're not going to pay this off along the way. It's just going to be assumed that you're going to meet your obligations way in the future. And Union Pacific is saying, no, we're going to be able to pay you guys, pay the government back, pay off all of the expenses of actually building this thing that has never been done before. And it's going to be fine. We actually don't have any way to make money from it because there is nobody out there, but it's going
to
be fine.
Yeah, it's weird that they built a whole product to solve, like, it was the solution to something that didn't exist.
Right. Yeah.
Thank God we connected one end of the country to the other. And they're like, so fucking what? There is nothing there.
Right. No, it's California and then everything to the east of like the midpoint of the country, basically. There's nothing out there.
It's like a bunch of guys that left their families to dig for gold and then like the rest of the nation.
I feel bad for the people in Oregon, too, who's like, I came here so no one could bother me. And then it's like, I built the fastest way to get to your side of the country. It's like, well, fuck.
Yeah, and they're super invested in this because obviously with the Civil War going on, they think, okay, well, we got to connect with the West because we're going to lose the South. This is also when they developed the Homestead Act, which is basically they say, look, we're going to give you just a bunch of land. We're going to give you 160 acres, but you have to live there for 5 years. You have to make it better. Sometimes they charge a little bit. Sometimes it was just for free. So this is how they're going to develop the West. And people already out in the West are like, look, we did this the hard way, guys. We don't really want you. But, you know, they're fine. It's going to give them some connection. And this is, of course, why, as Wynn pointed out, the gold rush does eventually happen because they've got rail lines now.
Yeah. Also, I just want to point out, how pissed off would you be if you were one of the people that actually had to pay for the land when they're giving it away to everyone else?
So there's general opposition to this in general. They're like, none of us need this. This isn't going to help anybody. So this actually leads us into the actual scandal, which is the Crédit Mobilier scandal, or in American, it's the Credit Mobilier scandal. I have listened to a lot of tape of how people pronounce this, and Credit Mobilier is the least distracting. So it's incorrect, but we're going to go with that. This is going to be massively expensive. And Union Pacific realizes running the railroads is not going to make them that much money. It's going to cost, you know, they're going to spend a lot of time and effort into this. Obviously, the government is giving a loan for it, but it's going to cost a lot. And then what? People are going to take a train sometimes to California. It's a lot of track. There's nowhere to stop in the middle. There's nothing to really do. What they do realize, though, is that those loans they're taking out are for an absolute fortune. That's, in fact, way more money than they could ever get otherwise. So Union Pacific, specifically Vice President Durant and businessman George Francis Train, which is my favorite example of nominal determinism, they come up with the plan.
Wait. The guy's name was Train?
The guy's name was Train. Yeah.
That's bullshit.
I know. Honestly, it made me a little angry. I'm like, you know what? Maybe this is just helps the study.
That guy's family got to America. They were just like, what's that? Train. Last name. Perfect. Yeah.
My name's Train Cotton Racism.
So, yeah. These when, yeah.
Sorry, that got me.
Yeah. This is honestly about how people are named at the time. It was solid, but also like, God, this was, I honestly, reading through the names of all this made me so angry. There's a guy named Oaks we're going to talk about later. Where every time I saw it, I was like, that's not a name, guys. Just get it together. So here is where the scheme actually gets complicated. Train purchases the Pennsylvania Fiscal Agency. Now, this was an agency that originally was created to build the Southern Transcontinental Line, which it doesn't do. At this point, its only real asset is what it's allowed to do. It existed as a limited liability venture, which is brand new at the time. This is one of the first companies to start this, which basically means that if a company they've invested in goes under, they're not responsible. They don't have to pay anybody back for it. It's not their problem.
It's every landlord has created an LLC. So yes. Basically, you can't sue them if something goes wrong. Think about it like that.
Exactly.
You can't sue your landlord. You can only sue the fake company that they set up in order to collect the money.
Right.
This is like the Big Short of the
1800s.
This is exactly what it was.
Look, we're not Margot Robbie in a bath, but we're doing our best, guys.
Yeah. So the other thing is it could function as both a construction company and a finance company. So he renames it Crédit Immobilier, Credit Mobilier, after the French bank of the same name, makes it sound prestigious, but it doesn't have any actual connection.
No, we're not that one.
No, exactly. So Union Pacific has the authority to contract work out. The public hates them. The public hates the government. They think this is also suspicious. And Union Pacific says, tell you what we're going to do. We're going to hire this company, Credit Mobilier, to be the middleman. Again, this is their company. It's all the same people. But this makes it look like it's on the up and up.
In their defense, they were wearing hats and mustaches.
Yeah, that is basically the extent of this. And honestly, it largely works. They think this is okay. So what Credit Mobilier is able to do at this point is charge whatever they want. They have a guy do a survey and say that the Rocky Mountains start miles east of where they actually do, so they can charge for the increased expense of building over Rockies. They build it in this absurd oxbow shape to get more mileage out of it.
They just put a loop-de-loop in there.
Yeah, I was about to say, they're just throwing in tracks everywhere. Like, it's just a roller coaster. It's zigzagging. At one point, it just goes in like a big circle.
Oh, yeah. It is, honestly, they're as close to it as they can without someone looking at it and saying, this doesn't seem right. But everything is going through Credit Mobilier. This isn't Union Pacific's fault. They said, well, no, this is the bill that we got. This is what it should be. So the problem is, this is supposed to be just a loan. So how do they get away with this if they have to pay this back? This goes back to the LLC, which is they're going to get all of the money. They're going to funnel it back into Credit Mobilier as supposed expenses. And basically, as they're paid to build each mile of track, they're given a certain amount of money. And then a lien is put on the mile of that track. If they don't pay the money back, the government keeps the track, which is not a big deal if you've siphoned off hundreds of millions of dollars in today's money. You're not going to make that much running a railroad anyway. So the money is now secured in a different company that can't be faulted if Union Pacific goes under. So they're charging what totals to $94 million, about $1.6 billion today, for a project that cost $50 million. All of this, they figured maybe they can pay it off eventually. Maybe they can actually keep the company going. As you know, Union Pacific is still around today, which is insane. I was so mad about that, where I read the name, was like, this is the same company, right?
Bad guys never die.
Yeah.
Trump's going to be around in 2020.
Oh, that guy's going to outlive us all.
One of the other things that bothered me so much about this when you look up all of the names about the people behind this, like, the first thing you see is responsible for building the first transcontinental railroad. Like, you have to dig to get, oh, by the way, it was a massive con and they ripped off all of America. There are monuments to some of these guys for building the railroad. These just massive con artists that did nothing.
Well, look, they're not going to put it on the letterhead of their business. Yeah. Like, they're...
No, but when you Google it, it's still not up there.
That'd be dope if there's a monument to, like, the guy who made Herbalife.
This is basically the equivalent.
Yeah, this is just a big multi-level marketing scheme when you think about it.
Oh, yeah. No, they're so blatant about this, and there's a lot of complication with they make this completely circular. So Credit Mobilier is getting paid with a check. They hand the check right back to Union Pacific in exchange for Union Pacific stock. The money that then goes to the Union Pacific executives is used to buy Credit Mobilier stock.
So they're just inflating it and inflating it, and then people are like, oh, let's get in on this.
Yeah. Exactly.
They keep making more money.
And everyone that makes money from one of the company makes money from the other. It is this insane circular system where it's like, how do you guys not see this coming? Especially because everything is signed by the same people from both sides. The accountants, the lawyers for both companies are the same guys. They could not more obviously be a scam. And in fact, they're so blatant about this. In the 1864 Pacific Railway Act, they get Congress to pass legislation that allows the government to pay funds directly to Credit Mobilier. They don't even want to be a middleman. Now they can just get the money directly to them, just making it more and more obvious. This also loosened restrictions and allowed them to build on stock requirements. Also, everyone who's involved in the railroad is supposed to have their own money invested. This is one of the requirements so that they know this is a legitimate venture. And there are so many loopholes around this that it's just, nobody had any money. And again, they're supposed to be making zero money from building this. None of this is for profit.
It was supposed to be pure not profit. And over the course of like a generation, they would slowly repay things back.
Yes.
And like, they were just like, fuck that. Everything here cost $1 billion.
Yeah.
And you got to pay that up.
So here's where it gets even more complicated, because this is going strong now. They use the money that they've made from this con to bribe government officials to make it easier to continue this con. Now it favors railway. This comes up later when farmers are trying to negotiate prices and everything is in favor of the railways because they were bribing the government to let them basically make whatever the law they wanted.
Yeah, they were just like, do you want to get in on this sweet stock? Because they don't even mention, like, they're just handing the money kind of back and forth to each other. And they're like, we'll cut you in on a sweet deal on it. And so, like, they're paying in money to the company that they then just hand off back and forth to each other.
Even though sports had a break, your business didn't. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need. You can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier. Like sponsored jobs, they're shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the important hire you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through December 31st.
The wait is finally over. Football is back. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Yeah, they were just like, do you want to get in on this sweet stock? Because they don't even mention, like, they're just handing the money kind of back and forth to each other. And they're like, we'll cut you in on a sweet deal on it. And so, like, they're paying in money to the company that they then just hand off back and forth to each other.
Basically, what they're doing with the government, it's like if you had a machine that printed money. So you printed a $100 bill and you said, cool, this cost me a penny to print. I'm going to give it to you for a penny. That's what they did. It was technically legal because they sold the stock at par to the congressmen and senators, but they didn't sell it at market value because they've inflated the market value so much it's worth a fortune. So this brings us to Ames Brothers and Durant, which you guys can talk about while I take a sip here because I talked way too much.
Although I will say it's kind of funny that these scandals are going on because by the time the rest of the nation finds out about it, it'll be like way too late because nothing gets around that quickly because there's no railroads.
Yeah. In fact, the people that are behind this are based in Boston with this being built out west. As many people look at it and go, hey, why is everyone who's financially involved in this nowhere near the railroad? Is this something we should be concerned about? And everyone just goes, no, don't worry about it. It's fine.
It's completely on the up and up. Those Boston guys are definitely treating everyone well here.
Yeah. So tell me about Ames Brothers and Durant.
Durant, who kind of formed Credit Mobilier, I can't pronounce it correctly. Yeah. The fancy, like they lied and said that they were a fancy French bank that everyone had heard of in newspapers. And they were like, yeah, that's us. So Durant is rivals with the Ames Brothers, who eventually Union Pacific President Oliver and Congressman UP Financier Oakes. So he hates all of these guys.
Yeah. And 1865, Oakes is asked by Lincoln to take control of the Union Pacific portion of the Transcontinental Railroad, and nobody trusts Durant. He's a known con man. Again, this is the guy who, when he thought it might be Missouri, bought up land in Missouri.
He's basically the monorail guy from The Simpsons.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly what he is.
Now that I'm talking about it out loud, this is the scheme, isn't it? This was the scheme from The Simpsons.
This, honestly, it was probably taken directly from it. I like these episodes where this is probably something people have vaguely heard about, but do not know the details of, and we get to dive deep. Especially when something like this, where it's just everything is so stupid. And again, I wanted to find something that tied so cleanly to American politics of today. The corruption and stupidity is insane here.
I could just imagine Conan O'Brien, that redheaded Harvard kid, just like sitting there like, yeah, people don't know it, but this monorail episode is about the Credit Mobilier scheme.
Yeah.
And the best part about American corruption is that it's entirely legal.
Well, that was it. There was very little here that was not technically totally okay. Like, it shouldn't be, but there's a lot here that was, yeah. I mean, which is why it's insane. People are like, no, we got to listen to the forefathers' laws. Dude, they missed like everything. All of this crazy con stuff was completely legal.
Did you know that you could just have a hotel in DC if you're president and just rent out rooms to whoever at whatever rates you want? And that's apparently completely
fine.
The
entire political legal system is like based off Airbud logic. It's like, well, there's no rules. The dog can't play basketball. It's like, well, yeah, I guess technically it's shit.
Yeah, we didn't think we had to write it down.
Yeah, and I mean, Oakes isn't an idiot. He realizes, yeah, he can make a lot of money this way. So he partners up with Durant. Again, doesn't really trust him, but they're going to go with this to develop the scan. He helps them develop Credit Mobilier. Eventually, Durant sees that they're kind of overtaking him. He comes up with a weirdly non-corrupt plan to try and regain power. So he, instead of offering the contract to Credit Mobilier, he offers it to a guy at the actual cost. Credit Mobilier's only source of income was this con, and they got it from Union Pacific. Union Pacific now wasn't making money. So by being legit, he's taking money from Union Pacific that would have kept Credit Mobilier alive. So this is how he's going to try to oust the Ames brothers, by being honest for like the first time ever.
The most sneaky, underhanded thing you could possibly do was to do the thing that they were hired to do.
Exactly. And the Ameses, so they stage a coup at Union Pacific. People take factions, but ultimately they want the money and they're not making the money this way. So they keep Durant around, but he doesn't have the position he wants to have. And he's hanging in there, but the Ameses are now in charge of all of this. And Ames is getting more and more powerful in Congress as well. And this is where he's now offering stock to everybody, every congressman he can. Future President Garfield becomes a big hit at the time because here's the thing. Everyone's like, oh no, I didn't know this was illegal, or maybe it's not. They're not even sure how to commit to this because it was like, well, you can't prove it's wrong. But this is during the rebuilding of America. There is so much corruption that it's essentially standard.
Yeah, it's that whole just like, I didn't know we were exclusive. It's just like, you knew. You knew it wasn't cool.
So by the end, this deal generates $724.9 million in today's money in purely fraudulent profits. Not only that, but because much of that profit was in Union Pacific shares that they bought and paid themselves, Credit Mobilier directors only claimed a little over half of that. It's basically like if you said, I got $10, but I gave $5 to my sock puppet, so I only got $5. This is their scam, and it's, again, mostly working, since the other half was supposedly spent on stock shares, even though it went to them.
So they has to come tumbling down, right? Eventually, yes. Henry Simpson McComb, who was an investor, and he's just been like getting shares from Ames this whole time. And he's just grabbing them up. He's making more money. I mean, you're making almost like Avengers level money off of this. And so eventually they're like, you can't have any more shares, Simpson. You can't. And he's just like, well, guess what? Fuck you guys. And he just burns the whole thing to the ground. He just writes three letters where he breaks down everything and just gives them to a newspaper.
So what happens here was he in fact got Ames so pissed, and Ames like, I don't know how to explain to you how dumb this is. I need the stocks to bribe Congress. So Ames puts that in a letter. He says, I can't give you the stocks. I need them to bribe Congress. And Simpson takes him to court and says he owes me more shares. And all of this is revealed in court. So then a few years later, 1972, the New York Sun breaks the story and they pull the court transcripts with the letters. It's like, you guys just admitted to absolutely all of this. The problem is Grant is running for re-election at this point and the Sun hates Grant. So the other newspapers are saying, this probably isn't true. There's basically, this is an early claim of fake news. They say this can't possibly be it, but Congress is suspicious probably because they live there. They have seen none of this adds up. So they start digging into this and there's an investigative committee. These testimonies are supposed to be taken in secret. So Ames is surprisingly candid, maybe because it would stay secret. Also because it wasn't technically illegal. He said it wasn't bribery. He never asked for anything in return. He just knew if they had a financial interest in the railroad, they're going to keep giving him money. They're going to make sure that things go right for him. Which, yeah, I mean, I guess technically there's a lot of, I guess, but come on.
Like, you knew it was bad. Like, right. just say it's bad. You can just say it.
So Ames is the only one that comes out and talks about this. The other congressmen all kind of hem and haw and say, you know, this, I mean, not really. Some of them actually did give the stocks back because obviously they knew this could eventually be traded to them. Ames was kind of expecting them all to come forward and say, yeah, this is what happened. So he was pissed that he was the only one that spoke out. So he comes back with
a big I am Spartacus.
Yeah.
Imagine if, like, the movie Spartacus ended with just one guy standing up and saying, I am Spartacus, and then they are all just, yep, that's him. That's Spartacus, all right.
They drag him away. He's like, guys, come on. We said we were going to do it.
Yeah, we all agreed we'd do the thing together. You know, partially the reason that Congress got super involved, they were just like, wait, everyone else got money and I didn't get money? Oh, yeah. Fuck this.
So Ames comes back. He's got the names of 9 politicians that he submitted for an investigation. He says, look, I've got transcripts. I've got everything. All were either former or current congressmen or senators, except for Schuyler Colfax, who's the current vice president, former Speaker of the House, and Henry Wilson, who's about to be Grant's next VP. Wilson, by the way, there's like no low here. Wilson claimed he bought it in his wife's name with his wife's money because his wife died 2 years ago. So they can't question her to contradict him. Just like the level of scumbag is
that's
insane.
A ride or die wife, even and death.
It's my dead wife did it is the line. It's insane.
What a shitty excuse to just be like, sorry guys, my bitch wife did this.
And everyone back then is so sexist, they're like, we feel you, brother.
Oh man, yeah. did she do crimes? She probably did the crimes, didn't she? Classic, yeah. Women probably need to take her one of those masturbating hospitals we all send our wives
what
to.
If Trump leaves office is like, it was all Melania's idea. He's like, what?
Look, she's not even a citizen. I think you should throw her out.
How does immigrant get in my fucking house?
So this is Wilson, our next vice president. Yeah, this is this guy. And here's the thing. No one is better than this. Like, this should be the low. This is not the low. This is the standard that they've built.
This is some Veep level nonsense right here.
It absolutely is. It is all so dumb. Congress investigates 13 of its members. DOJ found that more than 30 politicians had been given shares in some form, including, again, future President Garfield. You can read his letters, which I did, where he's just lamenting this. And it's basically, when you know that whiny voice that you do that I enjoy so much, No one. Where he's just like, but I didn't even take it, and I didn't keep it.
Oh, guys, I didn't do it.
Yeah.
Guys.
I gave the money back. Come on. So this is, again, your 1880 president. So they've got over 30 politicians that have been involved in this. And the papers have at this point all accepted the guilt. They're like, yeah, this obviously happened.
But they're all just being like, they're guilty. But once again, we didn't plan for this. All of America is just like a bunch of people doing shit and then us being like, fuck, we didn't say you couldn't do that.
Yeah, well, and the one caveat here is that if you can count these as bribes, that part is illegal. They can't accept these bribes, and they are so obviously bribes.
Also, I want to say, too, like, I feel like we defer way too much for the founding fathers. It's like, the founding fathers didn't foresee this. It's like, of course, they're fucking farmers who didn't know that trains would exist.
They wiped their asses barehanded. What the fuck are you talking about? They didn't see this coming.
But the scientific education at that point of an adult was the equivalent of a third grader today. How advanced do you expect them to be?
They're just looking up at us from hell like, make new laws, guys.
Yeah.
Just make new laws.
Look, when we said the arms thing, it took like 20 minutes to load a musket. We didn't realize you would just go all Rambo on
right.
us.
Our brains were rattled by syphilis. Make new laws.
We literally wore wigs to hide symptoms of syphilis.
Oh, God, I love when we get an episode callback. That's great. That was, yes, guys, listen to what this was, the figure skating episode, to find out about syphilis wigs. If you haven't heard already, an unexpected turn from figure skating, but surprisingly relevant. So we've got this insane situation, 30 people implicated, and this is playing out over weeks in the newspapers, so much so that Congress becomes more pissed at the newspapers for revealing the corruption than at the members of Congress that are corrupt.
That's a standard move, actually. That's part of the course, really.
It's the classic, like, you're girlfriend catches you cheating and then is like, well, actually it's a violation, you snooped through my phone.
Yeah.
It's like, wait, no, I'm not in the wrong here.
No, don't pull that.
Yeah. And also, this is one of the things where it's like, if this happened yesterday, we'd be like, oh, yeah, I get how they did that. I get how everyone involved did that.
They got so mad at the newspapers, but you also got to remember, like, back then, the amount of news you would get, like, in a week, we get in like 5 seconds now. Like, this scandal is something that I would read like on a bathroom break at work.
That's a good point.
And just like get the whole thing. Whereas they're like going months where they're like, guys, we found out new details. And like, you could keep someone's whole attention that way. There are so many scandals these days. I would not pick up on this one and like remember it 3 days from now.
Oh, no. I mean, absolutely. That's a really good point too, is that the cycle here, it lets it sustain. They don't, again, the biggest news before this was that there's going to be a railroad to nowhere. This is the biggest breaking news they could possibly have. Massive corruption. And Congress is just like, well, yeah, I mean, we just hate that you told on us. So you know what? Everyone's fine. Ames and Brooks are the only two that are punished for this. And their extreme punishment was censure by the House. Censure, by the way, the actual definition of this is a formal statement of disapproval. That's it. That is their punishment for defrauding America $1 billion, is just someone standing up and saying, guys, don't defraud America. Come on. That's it.
My be all.
It's literally them just being like, hey, I'm not mad. I'm just really disappointed in you.
Yeah.
Let's get F's going in the chat for Congress.
So, I mean, this is basically the end of the scandal here. There's nothing else after this. It's like, yeah, you made the millions of dollars. It's eventually in the crash of 73. Thankfully, most of these guys lose it. But that's it. I mean, and it's not like they lost it because they took it away.
I like that. You can't just say, oh, it ends there, and then like forget the funniest part that they immediately lost it a few years later because of a crash. That's
they did.
That's objectively
they did.
Hilarious that they did a whole stock inflating crime and then lost it all on a stock market crash.
You know what? That's right. I missed the delicious irony of that. That's a really good point. That's a lot more fun when you realize how circular that is. And yeah, and Union Pacific actually almost does fold. A Credit Immobiliare obviously does. It doesn't do anything except rip people off.
And pretend to be a fancier bank.
Right. But everyone involved is just walks away, especially because not only that, but what they're charged with, no one is found guilty of receiving bribes. Ames is found guilty of giving bribes. Brooks is found guilty of attempted bribery. So no one got the money is the conclusion here.
All I can imagine right now is the ending of Ocean's 11 when they're all around the fountain and it's just like they're all just like nodding and walking away. Like that was essentially how it ended, where they're all just like, we did good today, guys. We yeah. really made a difference in the world. And then they just walk away while like that piano score plays.
It is just the 2008 crisis. It's like, no one went to jail during that. Like, it doesn't matter how much you defraud people. Like, you're going to get
away. As I read through this, there was absolutely nothing where I came across it and thought this couldn't happen now, or some version of it didn't happen in my lifetime. This all happened. This all keeps happening. It's the same thing. The only difference was they had to build a railroad to do it.
I can't wait till Elon Musk does this exact same scam with his spaceships.
Right.
And then he's at the end, it's like, of course I couldn't build a spaceship. What the fuck do you think this is?
I'm just some guy, and I'm not even the guy who designs this shit.
So, and especially because the people that are building trains, it's not like these people that know how to build trains. These are people with money that say they want to build a train. That's it. You don't get this job because you're good at it. You get this job because you said you'd do it, which is why during this time period, you see hundreds of companies pop up to build trains or railroads or rail lines. They've got some connection here, whereas everyone who wanted money just said, yeah, I can build a train, and showed up and kind of just went to see what happened. This was, this was about standard.
The train going to nowhere. Where I think should have been like your first tip off that things are getting a little fucked up.
And honestly, they sold that with like, look, there are people in Sacramento. And they're like, well, people we want to see. And they're like, not really, but don't worry about it.
No, they're all pretty bad.
Yeah. They're like, don't worry, Sacramento will be important one day.
One day they'll have the Kings. Yeah. That'll be fun.
Well worth it now that we know that. I mean, this was so effective because it was essentially a closed loop. Everyone was corrupt. Everyone was involved. The owners of the railroads were also in Congress, were also shareholders of Credit Mobiliare. Everyone was so tied in that it was like, well, fine, who is going to tell on this? We're all getting stupid rich and nobody else knows how to do this. You know, nobody else is going to build a train across the country. So yeah, just keep giving us money.
Yeah, we're the only ones. We're the only ones here. Yeah. We're the only game in town. Because we're the only ones who figured out how to make money off of it.
Yeah. And again, a lot more crop up, but not to build a transcontinental. They're mostly like, yeah, I can put down some track for a while, I guess, you know, if you'll pay me for it. This happened under Lincoln, but this is the first scandal that breaks under Grant. And he has so many more. I've actually got a list, but I don't feel like you need them because they're all they're all just other versions of this. Like here was the whiskey ring where the Treasury Department was supposed to collect 70 cents on the dollar for taxes. Instead, distillers just paid them 35 cents. Which they kept all of it themselves and said, yep, they paid their taxes. That was it. These cons were so easy to do. You could do it. You just said you got money or you needed money. And that was the end of the con. It was so stupidly simple that it was amazing how long they got away with it.
I mean, once again, Randall keeps saying it. 2008, man. This is it's all a it's all secular.
Yeah, no, it's exactly, this is also right before the Gilded Age. The Gilded Age is interesting because it helps really incorporate this kind of corruption into government itself. For this, like, government will be a part of it, but now the political machine starts to take hold, and this lets corruption be inbuilt, where suddenly the guys that are corrupt are getting elected or getting people elected, and now you owe the people that got you elected. This is when Tammany Hall starts to form in the 1870s, which is, again, just smaller versions of this scam, but still equals millions of dollars.
Anytime you have to build a government building and you can build it for like 200 grand, you're just like, that costs $13 million, and my friend over here actually built it.
Yeah, that's a real number they have, by the way. It's that was what it cost to build the courthouse. That's now the New York City Department of Education. And that was Tammany Hall and Boss Tweed. So this is standard. The thing is, it still happens now, but during this time period, nobody trusted the government because of this. They accepted that this was a massive area of corruption. And now people keep being surprised by it. That's the only difference. Now when it happens, we were like, what? We can be scammed? Back then, they were like, yeah, we told you this was going to happen because it happens every single day.
This now brings us to the part of the show where we now have to defend the indefensible. And I'm going to go ahead and take the lead on this. Guys, it's technically a dog can play basketball. It's what he said. They didn't break the law. They did build a railroad. That railroad ended up developing the entirety of America eventually, because they were able to like pop up towns all throughout. They put it around a waterway and whatnot so that people could like have their cities and everything that came up. America was founded corruptly, and we expanded it corruptly, and we still currently run it corruptly. So this is actually pretty patriotic what they were doing, if you think about it. So in my defense, they were just doing the American dream when you're a bad person that lives in America.
You know what I hate about that is absolutely right. This became standard practice to build the railroad. The only difference was they did this on a bigger scale and did it so well. But I mean, what I liked about it was that, like, at least it was a good con. Right now, you've got like Lockheed Martin says, we built a new plane. It's exactly the same, except when you hit a goose, it explodes cooler. And they charge $1 billion like per plane. And they're like, well, yeah, okay, well, you're in my state. I'll give you $1 billion a plane.
And then they're like, the plane doesn't fly, by the way. We didn't figure that part out.
Right. At least they put in the work. I mean, these are absolutely the worst people. And guys, Google some of these names because it will infuriate you. The fact that the first thing that comes up is not that they were con men who did nothing. It is all just, I mean, I saw an interview with Ames's great, great, great granddaughter who is talking about how great her grandfather was for building the railroad. And I was like, yeah, I mean, I get that she's a granddaughter. She's going to say it, but they asked to talk to the granddaughter. They had historical experts they could have talked to. Instead, they brought in the granddaughter.
Can I defend them real quick?
Please do.
I mean, I have a couple defenses. One is just crime's cool, money's fun, like whatever.
Very true.
But also, if this is what inspired the monorail episode of The Simpsons, worth it. It's one of the best episodes. It's one of the best episodes of television. I'm glad they did what they did.
That's true. Phil Hartman is a national treasure and he is missed.
No, that's a really good point. This was, I mean, you know, worth it. It was $500 million. It set a tone for America that is, you know, forever unchanging of corruption. But also, I like that the Simpsons are going back and forward. We already know they can predict the future. You know what? They're hitting it all.
All right. Well, that is Credit Mobilier and the scandal of the railroads.
I mean, I feel like we covered it well. I thought this was really interesting as I dug into this. There was some stuff that, you know, like, again, you've heard the basics, you know, oh, railroad scandal, right? And then you see how they did this. And it was just, it was absolutely insane, the level and the depth of corruption and the plan behind us. I thought it was a lot of fun to learn about. I hope you guys listened to it too. If you did enjoy it, please subscribe, give us 5 stars, and, you know, email us if you have thoughts, opinions. We should have a link for you down in the episode description there. We'd love to hear from you. Also, if you want us to do episodes on anything specific, please let us know.
And Randall, thanks for tearing yourself away from election coverage. I know we're all just like itching to like kind of like look and check right now, but I'm sure.
Oh, I've been checking, guys. I'm not.
No.
Has anything happened? Perfect. Amazing. Love it. What a fun time to be alive.
Thank you so much for coming on. We know this was an exhausting time to do it, and I really appreciate you being here for it because this was absolutely our most stressful episode just because I cannot think about anything else but what is going to happen.
Nobody has slept. This is the most punch drunk I've ever been recording an episode. So guys, come on, tune in next week. Hopefully we know how this shook out and we're all very relaxed. We've all had good night's sleeps. We don't have to like wake up and just be like, what the fuck did he do today? Yeah. Like we could just like kind of just go back to where we were before of just being ignorant of all the world's problems and not focusing on bad things that happen.
That would be fantastic. So guys, please join us again next week. We'll have another good episode out for you. And Wen, I'll see you next week.
All right. Bye.
Bye.